Welcome to On Mic with Jordan Rich. From time to time, it's kind of nice to look back and remember with fondness the creative gems among us who are no longer on this plane. In 2018, the world said goodbye to Marvel's granddaddy, Stan Lee. The comic book creator made such an impression on pop culture and modern philosophy, revered by millions for bringing his medium of comic books to higher levels, and ultimately bringing in billions of dollars of on-screen revenue with some of the biggest movie hits of all time, from Spider-Man and Iron Man to The Avengers and so many more. Well, let's get into the Wayback Machine and listen to an interview I did with Stan back in 2006. That was the second time we chatted, by the way. The focus was on Stan's latest project, a book called Stan Lee's Amazing Marvel Universe, an interactive book filled with pictures, nostalgia, and lots of sound, including Stan's own voice, as you'll hear. Stan Lee was a sweet human being, one of my fondest interviews ever. So here's a chance to share it with you again. It gives me great pleasure here on The Jordan Rich Show to bring back an old friend, and boy, is he hotter than ever. He is Stan the Man, Stan Lee, and Stan has a million projects going. The latest is Stan Lee's Amazing Marvel Universe, which is a book that not only is it a book that you want to read, it even talks to you. Watch this. Wait a minute. Come on, speak.
Excelsior.
That sounds like you, Stan.
It sure is me.
How you doing?
I want to tell you, this was such a kick, Jordan. I was asked to do this, and I have never done anything like this before. In fact, I don't know if anybody has. This may be the first book of its type in all the world, where somebody wrote a history of Marvel Comics, which is a beautiful coffee table book.
Oh, it's great.
And then they asked me to read, and I don't really read anything, but they asked me to talk about certain sections in the book. So I just ad-libbed them while they recorded it. And now the book comes with this sort of big tape recorder. And as you read parts of the book, there are places where if you push a button, you hear me talking about what you've been reading. So I don't think that's been done before, and man, did I get a kick out of it.
Oh, it's so much fun. My son and I are loving it, and needless to say, the text in the book, which is a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff from you, Stan, is fascinating. Even to know that your first comic book adventure begins way well back in World War II days, right?
That's right.
Wow. And tell everybody, who was that first comic book hero that you were involved with, well before Spidey?
It was one I didn't create, but it was Captain America.
Right.
And that was the first character that I wrote in a comic book. And then after that, I made up a lot, and I wrote a lot, and it never stopped.
You know what's interesting, as you point out, you did something, and you took a bit of a risk and said to the producers and the publishers, you wanted to do something more than just create pictures and action. And you talk about how your characters actually live in real cities like New York and go to real places and have real feelings.
Well, I thought it would make them more believable, if that doesn't sound contradictory. I mean, we're talking about fantasy stories with people with superpowers, but I thought if you can take that concept and make it seem somewhat credible, it would be more enjoyable. For instance, I didn't want to have a hero who lived in Metropolis or Gotham City or, you know, I didn't want a character to drive a whiz-bang V8. When we did the Fantastic Four, I had the teenage member, the Human Torch. I had him drive a Corvette, and if they went to the movies, they went to the Radio City Music Hall. They didn't go to the Bijou. So I thought just putting in those little realistic things, like even the Fantastic Four lived on the east side of New York, the Baxter Building.
That's right.
Iron Man lived in a mansion on Fifth Avenue, and Peter Parker, his aunt, lived in a little house in Forest Hills, New York. So since I came from New York, it was so easy for me to be somewhat accurate in what I wrote about if I kept all the characters around New York.
I'm talking to the one and only Stan Lee. We had Stan on for a full hour a couple of years ago. It was a real joy, and now we have him for a few minutes talking about Stan Lee's Amazing Marvel Universe, a brand-new coffee table book that speaks to you in Stan's voice. You know, with all the movies and all the great success that you're having and the company's having and the characters, are people still reading the I hope kids are still reading the comic book, Stan.
Oh, well, they must be, because the books are selling pretty well.
Good.
See, what's happening is, despite all the competition, despite all the video games and the iPods and all those things, they go to the movies, and that stirs their interest up. There's no kid who can go see an X-Men movie and not want to run and get some X-Men comic books to read and so forth. So each one seems to help each part of the media helps the other part.
As we talk about the movies and the tie-in with these characters that you created a few years back, certainly Spider-Man, one of the most successful movie franchises in history. And I know I talked about this with you a while back, but the second film was even better than the first, I thought. And the use of character in that movie, that's why it's such a good film, not just because of the special effects, which are fantastic, but we really feel for Peter Parker. We really feel his pain.
Boy, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, characterization is everything. First, you come up with the character. You come up with the problems that the character has, the reason why you should care about the character. And then you add the action and the suspense and the villains, because that part is relatively easy. The part that's difficult is doing a character that an audience will care about.
And I know that coming up in the works, and this is really interesting, folks, Iron Man starring a very fine actor, one of the best we have, Robert Downey Jr., right. And maybe you can tell the WBZ audience the Iron Man story, because it really is a guy who's going through some tough times.
Well, with Iron Man, I tried to do something different. At the time I wrote him, people were sick about war. They hated the military-industrial complex and all of that. So I thought, just for fun, I'm going to get a hero who's like Howard Hughes. This guy was a billionaire. He was also a munition maker. And all the things that the readers would really normally hate, and I'm going to find a way to make them like him. He was a playboy and only interested in money. And then I turned him into a superhero, and he wears this iron suit. But the reason he wears it is his heart had been injured, and there's some electronics in the suit that can keep his heart beating.
Right.
He has to wear it occasionally to keep him alive. So it had that unusual twist.
Well,
that the movie is going to be just superb.
That's a sort of a staple of your writing and your characters over the years. I mean, Fantastic Four, each one of them a hero, but at the same time flawed. And of course, Spider-Man and Daredevil, these guys are all fighting their inner demons as they're fighting the outer demons, which makes them compelling.
It was easy for me to do because, despite the public conception, I myself am not 100% perfect. So it's easy for me to relate to these kind of guys.
I know we only have you for a few minutes, but tell me about the TV show, and it's the goofiest thing in the world, but I love it, the superheroes TV show you got going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was more fun than ever, and we're just waiting for the network to give us the go-ahead to do some more for next season. I never did anything like that before.
Yeah.
The one thing I hated was at the end of each one having to get rid of
one
of the contestants, because I really got to like them all, and they cared so much, you know? But the funny thing about it, I don't know how other reality shows work, but all of these contestants became fast friends and actually now see each other socially.
Isn't that
now
right?
That the show is over.
Well, I love the concept and, again, the costumes and some of the goofy things they did, but there is something about the work you do that keeps you everlastingly young, and I think it keeps guys like me reading the comic books and seeing the movies. I mean, I can't wait for the next film to come out. I mean, I am on my seat's edge. And by the way, one of my favorite things is finding you in each movie.
Where do you see my cameo in the new Spider-Man movie, in Spidey 3, which comes out in May?
Yep.
I actually get to talk to Peter Parker in one scene.
Oh, well, it's about time. Over the years, you've been walking through as the bank guard and the other thing. I'm waiting for you to speak.
Yeah, well, and I spoke in the Fantastic Four. I don't know if
yes,
you saw that
I
one.
I sure did. I loved it. Michael Chiklis is a Boston guy, a Lowell guy, and I thought
the nicest guy you could ever find.
And a terrific. I thought the movie was very, very nice too. But I think I told you that I like Daredevil. I'm a big Daredevil fan.
You know, I liked it too.
Yep.
And I thought that I forgot his name.
Ben Affleck.
I thought he did a good job.
Me too. I liked it a lot. And, of course, the X-Men trilogy, which was so enormously successful. Hey, how does it feel at this point, Stan Lee, Stan the Man? You're just getting warmed up. This is great.
Well, I'll tell you why I make such a good guest for radio shows. You ask how it feels. It feels good.
Well, I tell you, one more thing. In the book, you explain, and this is really interesting, Stan Lee's Amazing Marvel Universe. You explain the importance not only of the pencil drawing and of the ink and the colorization, and Mr. Kirby was a genius, but you also explain where you position the bubbles and the thought bubbles and the dialogue bubbles. Why is that?
Dialogue balloons. Well, to me, they're part of the artwork. And when, I used to have the artist draw the strip first, and then I would put in the dialogue and indicate where the balloons went. If there was a panel that was beautifully drawn, I used little or no dialogue balloons. If there was a panel that was a little bit dull, there wasn't much happening, I would throw in a lot of dialogue, a lot of balloons, maybe even a sound effect or so, to liven the panel up. It's something that I don't know if other writers thought of that, but to me, the dialogue and the captions were very much a part of the artwork of the panel.
Well, there's more to the book, along with amazing reproductions of the comics, but there's more to the book, the behind-the-scenes look, and it's fascinating stuff. And then you can listen to Stan as you're reading along, which is really cool. Stan, I want to thank you. I know you have to run, but thank you so much for all the pleasure you bring me and my friends and fans and audience and everybody. And I really, really wish you just years and years more of great success.
Well, thanks so much, Jordan. I'm sorry we only had 10 minutes. Maybe we can do this again later on sometime.
Anytime, Stan the Man. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care and good luck.
Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Stan Lee, a true pioneer and a mensch of the first order. That was from my 2006 interview with him. For you, Stan, we have just one word. Excelsior. This is Jordan thanking you for listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich, available on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and of course Android. Appreciate you subscribing, downloading, rating, and reviewing this podcast if you get a chance. On Mic is produced at Chark Productions in Boston. Until next time, be well so you can do good.